भगवद गीता 8.8 अभ्यास योग युक्तेन चेतसा नान्यगामिना परमं पुरुषं दिव्यं याति पार्थानुचिन्तयन्। अभ्यास योग युक्तेन योग युक्तेन बाय बी एंगेज इन योगा एंड अभ्यास प्रैक्टिस बाय सिस्टमैटिकली प्रैक्टिसिंग योगा चेतसा नान्यगामिना and not letting the consciousness go anywhere else. Paramam Purusham Divyam. Paramam Purusha, the Supreme Purusha, who is Divya, who is divine, transcendental. Yati Partha Anuchintayan. The tale Anuchintayan. Why such a systematic remembrance? So there's an interesting shift from the first person to the third person in this verse. In the previous verse, Krishna has clearly stated, Mom. Therefore, Kasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmarayate Chet. Remember me. Maya Arpitamano Buddhi. Dedicating your mind and intelligence to me. Mam Evaishyasya Asamshaya. You will surely come to me. So after Krishna has talked about it this way, using Mam thrice in one verse, now suddenly Krishna shifts to a third person reference. Third person, where he says that Paramam Purusha Divyam Yati Parthan Chintam Yati. You will go to the, you will attain the Supreme Purusha, the Divine Supreme Purusha. So what is going on here? Krishna is now talking about Krishna is talking from the perspective of the yogis who have not yet understood that it is Krishna who is the supreme object that they are pursuing. They are thinking of the supreme object to be, they as of at this level, they don't know who the supreme object is. Usually when they're practicing yoga, they of course know that they have to do Ishwar Pranidhan, but who that Ishwar is, they don't know specifically, and whether that Ishwar is the highest reality or whether they are to aim for a reality beyond Ishvara. About this, some of the yogis may have some confusion. But as far as Krishna is concerned, he is going to speak from their perspective and then going to take the discussion to a higher level where he enables them to see how they can, they too can come to the level of spiritual consciousness that recognizes Krishna to be the highest spiritual realities. That progression will happen gradually. So here Krishna says that Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, that by steady practice, Abhyasa. Now the word Abhyasa is significant. It has come several times in the Bhagavad Gita, most prominently in response to Arjuna's apprehension that the mind is extremely difficult to control. When he raised that in 6.33 and 34. So, Chancharami Mana Krishna Pramati Balavadrudam Tasyaham Nigraham Manye Vayorivasu Dushkaram. It is as difficult as controlling a raging wind, Arjuna said. And then Krishna responded in 6.35 by saying, Asamshaya Mahabaho Manodurnigraham Chalam Abhyase Natu Kaunteya Vairagyena Chigruhyate. That, yes, it's difficult undoubtedly to control the mind, but it's possible by practice and by detachment. Abhyase Natu Kaunteya. So, Abhyasa is practice. So here Krishna is also recommending practice. In the previous verse may raise the question that, and of course it's not only the previous verse, in general we may get the question, how is it possible to fix the mind on Krishna always? Mat sarveshu kaleshu. How is it possible to fix the mind on him always? So Krishna says over here, it's possible if you abhyasa yoga. You practice. Practice to keep yourself engaged in yoga. Chetasa nanyagamina. Don't let the consciousness go here and there. Chetasa na anya gami na. Instead of letting the consciousness go here and there, keep it fixed on spiritual truth. Krishna has talked about it earlier in 6.25.26 when he stated that yato yato manas chanchal masthiram tatastato niyam yaitad atmanyev vasham nayed. So he said, yes, the mind will wander. In 6.26 he said, yato yato, wherever, whenever the mind wanders, manas chanchal masthiram. Because the mind is restless and unsteady, then bring it under the control. Atmanyeva vashamnayet, under the control of the self, if it's possible. So here, Krishna is stating that similar practice we have to do. Fixing the consciousness on spiritual reality is not easy, but it is possible by practice. Na anya gami, na gama is to go. Gami, anya gami na means to go elsewhere. So the mind is constantly pleasure seeking, and its search for pleasure, it goes here, it goes there, it goes everywhere. And it needs to be regulated with conviction that all those other things where we are promised pleasure, we are promised elation, they are actually dead ends. The material reality is endlessly attractive, but it is endlessly deceptive also. That means there is always something new to attract. We'll never run out of new objects. Nowadays with technology inventing newer and newer gadgets, all of which promise to be better and better. So this endless attractiveness of the material world has become expanded further. At the same time, it's not just endlessly attractive, it's also endlessly deceptive. Deceptive means that the very things that promise pleasure, they allure us with the promise of a huge amount of pleasure, but when we actually indulge in those objects, the pleasure is minimal, if at all, present, and the indulgence often turns out to be an anticlimax, where we, rather than getting pleasure, end up getting frustrated, we end up getting irritated, we end up getting flabbergasted. But whatever be the negative feelings towards the pleasures of this world, they don't last for long. We are frustrated by enjoying one object, and yet soon when the opportunity to enjoy another object comes up, immediately we indulge in it. And thus, we end up looking for something new, chasing something new in an endless process. Chetasa na anya gamina. That means we recognize that yes, for many lifetimes I have chased after the objects of this world and none of them have given me any pleasure. You know, new book to read, new gadget to enjoy, new game to play, a new partner to relate with, a new job, a new position, a new dress, all these new things. None of them live up to the hype. When we understand that if we at our core are spiritual and our deepest need is spiritual, then we start searching for a spiritual reality. Indeed, we start searching for the supreme spiritual reality. And that supreme spiritual reality is Krishna. Paramam Purusham Divyam. So when we understand, as Krishna will state later in the 10th chapter, how everything attractive in this world manifests the spark of His all-attractive splendor. In 10.41, He says that. That one for last verses of the 10th chapter, He states that. 41-42 says that everything in this world is sustained by Him, by just a fraction of Him. And then He also says that. That whatever opulent, beautiful and glorious things are found in this world, they manifest mama tejo amsha sambhava. So when we understand that whatever is attractive here manifests just a spark of Krishna's splendor, then we don't let ourselves get carried away by those objects. Instead, we focus on Krishna. Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Partha Anuchintayan. Anuchintayan means that we contemplate systematically. We don't just think about Krishna whenever we like to. We understand that this is the Krishna is the source, the basis of all my likes. Whatever I like in this world, ultimately its likability comes from Krishna. And therefore, if I persevere in my devotion to Him, if I become purified, then something that is unlimitedly attractive will become accessible and relishable to me through the purity and the devotion. And when one with this conviction continues, abhyasa yoga yukte, no? Then one continues practicing the process of yoga, then yati paramam purusham, then such a person will attain the supreme person. Thank you.